This GCN program brought to you by Frederick Remington, Fully Cooked Bacon, the thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry. Available at FullyCookedBacon.com. That's FullyCookedBacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I want to get your thoughts on this breaking news first, and then we'll get to some of that. What's your reaction to this story in the Times?
Well, I've been in a classified skiff with Director Pompeo for the last 2 hours, Martha, so I'm catching up a little bit. I read the story. Obviously, I want to see the memo. Obviously, I want to talk to Director Comey to determine how contemporaneous his recording of the conversation was, but also importantly, not just what was said, but what did Director Comey hear? How did he take it? And that can only be done, with all due respect to the New York Times, that can only be done by looking at the memo and talking to Director Comey.
Yeah, the New York Times in this report does not have the memo in their hands. It was read to them over the phone. So that in and of itself, you know, as you point out, it's very difficult to get the context if you can't read the whole thing.
Well, if you go back to criminal procedure, which is my background, there's a doctrine called the rule of completeness. Whenever part of a document is introduced, you got to be able to look at the entire document. Your viewers and my fellow citizens deserve to see the entire context of whatever conversation may or may not have taken place. And quite frankly, Director Comey deserves an opportunity to come tell us how he heard it, what he heard, how pervasive it was, and how much of the conversation that segment consumed. So we have a story. There's a reason newspaper articles are not admissible in any courtroom in the United States. I'm not knocking the reporter. The reporter does good work. But we're a long ways from a conviction, the fact that we simply have a headline in the New York Times.
So in terms of the, you know, calls for a special prosecutor, an independent prosecutor, this is going to only fuel those. Do you think there's any reason to go that route at this point?
I have been resistant in the past, but I've been open-minded. Special counsel is only appropriate if there's an allegation of a crime. And there are several crimes potentially at play here. The hacking of the DNC is a crime. I don't hear people talking about that much. The dissemination of classified information is a crime. General Flynn's comments to the FBI may or may not constitute a false statement to a law enforcement official. And I've heard allegations that this rises to the level of obstruction of justice. So you do have a sufficient evidentiary basis for a crime. But the other half of the equation is whether or not the Department of Justice or any of the 94 U.S. attorneys can do the job themselves. And I have not been persuaded that all 94 U.S. attorneys in our country, many of whom are women and men who have nothing to do with politics, are incapable of fairly adjudicating this fact pattern.
All right, one last question on this, then I want to get to the next subject with you. If James Comey believed that what the president said to him was an effort to obstruct justice, you know, to get him to table this investigation of Mike Flynn, would he be obligated to let the Department of Justice know right away?
I don't think so. I'm probably in a minority here. I don't think Director Comey reported President Obama the four different times he prejudged the outcome of an investigation. And there were four different times. Director Comey has not been afraid in the past to say no to presidents and attorney generals. He did it when he was with the Department of Justice. I think if he felt like this was an effort to influence him, he knows exactly what to do. But I won't know that until I have a chance to ask him.
All right. One thing we're left with still in all of this is an empty seat at the head of the FBI. And your name was on that short list. You asked for it to be taken off. Why? Why do you think you're not the right person for that job?
I think the country can do better than me, quite frankly. I did have 20 years in the courtroom, Martha. That's the best job I've ever had. But the reality is, in this current political environment, I am known more for being asked to chair one committee than I am the 20 years I spent in the courtroom. And my first rule of friendship is don't ask friends to do things that are not in their best interest. And the Senate confirmation process would be dreadful and it'd be miserable. And quite frankly, I think the country deserves a woman or a man who is devoid of political taint. And whether I like it or not, whether I wish I could wash it off or not, I have been in politics for 6 years. I think I could be fair, but I don't know that I could get the job, and I don't know that I could convince a sufficient number of my fellow citizens that I would be fair, and quite frankly, they deserve an FBI director that is above reproach.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Just a reminder that for more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email. We'd love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. And, you know, hashtag us. We do a hashtag kind of thing because that's the way we roll here. Hashtag BML Talk. Get involved in the conversation is absolutely critical. Hey, we got a real treat for you right now. Marty Angelo is with us. He worked in the entertainment business from 1965 to 1980. For some reason, I think that we've had to cross paths because I was in Los Angeles, very much involved in the radio business at that time, too. But Marty was involved as a musician, a TV producer, record promoter, a disc jockey, restaurant and nightclub owner, and personal manager for rock and roll bands like Raven, the popular Top 40s group, The Grassroots, starring Rob Grill. He received his first professional breaks from the late Jimi Hendrix and the late George Harrison. He later wrote and produced the 70s very popular dance TV show, Disco Step by Step, and in 1970 it was voted one of the top 25 disco record promoters. Marty Angelo, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me on. You know, it's funny. I was listening to your theme song there, and I worked on that tune.
Did you really?
Barry White.
Love
Unlimited Orchestra. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Well, I got to tell you that this is talking about disco. This was one of our themes, our consistent theme songs that we used back in the days, even before disco was disco. In fact, we used to do grad nights at Disneyland. Okay. And, so this was our signature song. So I've held on to that, as long as I can. And out of respect. So it's, for people that have known me and have known my career, they identify with this. So, well, it's good to know that you worked with it. So, hey, I'm gonna tell you the same thing I told Paul Williams. I go, maybe, you know, for all the times I've played it, maybe I can get a little spin, a little love here for all the times I've played it, even in the years when I was a disc jockey in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you used that song throughout your whole career. That's
amazing. Yeah. Yeah, it's
beautiful
been there.
Song,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it's songs like that anymore.
No, not at all. And to think, and people are surprised that Barry White had this capability because of, what they knew of Barry White. But what a genius! I mean, you worked on this song. I mean, you had to know him personally. What an incredible talent, right?
Yeah, he was way ahead of himself, and you know, he had his fingers on everything. In fact, he was really the forerunner to that whole disco movement. I mean, there was different in the sound at that time because there was funk. Remember the funk?
Yes, right. Funk Brothers. Oh, sure. Yeah, exactly.
But Barry added the strings, the orchestration, and nobody really was doing that back then. He set the bass
right.
for everyone that came after him. And so it was always a pleasure to work on his stuff, and he was quite a guy.
Well, you think about that and how much influence he must have had on the Bee Gees, you know, which they did a special for last night, in terms of that, you know, that big orchestration, that fullness of that sound, which people, when they first heard, you know, the, I guess the raw 4/4 beat of disco music, and then you bring, you know, the element of the orchestra into play here. It really brought fullness and brought the genre into a whole new level altogether, didn't it?
And it also brought the touch dancing back, too, because people started to hustle dance to that type of song. I mean, that's what made my television show so unique, because I only used those types of songs on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the only people that could dance on the show were people that knew how to hustle dance, or salsa dance, they called it.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And my show kind of was the front runner to Dance Fever with Denny Terrio, produced by Mark
Exactly, Jackson, right.
And all the others that came after it. And so we kind of set the pace. I didn't want them to just have a regular freeform dance style, because Dick Clark did that, and Don Cornelius did that with their shows. We just wanted to be different. Plus, we taught people how to dance.
Right, exactly.
On the show, so it made it different too.
No, it was great. It was great fun. See, Marty, I was like a Billy Crystal, White Man Overbite, give me a disco ball kind of dancer. You know, because I was cool with the strobe light and the ballroom ball, you know, flashing around. I could make it work, you know.
I know, man. I did the same thing. And, you know, as I became a record promoter, when disco really started taking off, you know, we had a group in New York called the New York Record Pool and the International Disco Record Center. And we were kind of the promotion arm for all of the record companies at that time. So we would go around to all the DJs all over New York and actually all over the country, then eventually giving out these free records to these guys.
Right.
And they would play the songs, and people would want to buy them after they heard them played. And in fact, you know, we didn't even need to promote them on radio, as you know.
Yes.
It was tough to get a record played on a radio station. So this was a pleasure to go into the discos and just give the guy a DJ copy. And he'd play all night long, and people would then want to buy it and go to the record stores, and the record companies loved it.
Yeah. Well, it was tougher radio stations, because they're used to about 3-4 minute cuts, and all of a sudden we start getting, you know, 12-18 minute cuts of that beat, and, you know, they're going, whoa, what do we do here? We've got commercials. We've got to run at some point, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, they always had, like, a couple of different versions of it. But then when FM radio got popular, you know, I think it was WBLS in New York, that was kind of the front runner for disco. They would play a lot of the longer songs. In fact, you could walk the streets in some of the neighborhoods, and that's all you'd hear. Everybody'd have their same station, radio on the same station, and you'd hear the same song playing all the way up the street. It was great. It was a great time.
It was
a relief from the 60s.
Exactly.
It was turbulent.
Right.
And when the 70s came around and that disco music and that started happening, it was like opening a window, letting in some fresh air. It was, we survived. We're not going to blow ourselves up. The Russians aren't coming.
That's right. Exactly. And as you say, you open the door up to an incredible amount of talent, whether it was Barry White and Ashford and Simpson and Donna Summers. I mean, you know, it just went on and on, right?
Yeah. It gave everybody an opportunity, and they made big money. It was a $1 billion business. And by the time I was sitting on it before, you know, we were the ones that helped promote it to that level. And then when Robert Stigwood came out with the Bee Gees, and they were looking for someone to be a star in the movie Saturday Night Fever.
Right.
We took a poll, you know, and John Travolta used to show up at these shopping malls when he used to do that movie or the TV show Welcome Back, Carter.
Exactly.
And he'd get 10,000 screaming fans would show up. So we thought the best person to do that role in Saturday Night Fever would be him. Even though he didn't know how to dance, and he wasn't a dancing type guy, but he was a good actor.
Right.
And he fit right into that role, man, and just pushed disco right over the edge. You know?
Yep. Amazing what he did. And then, of course, he, you know, that gave disco a whole nother shot in the arm. And go ahead.
No, and then it had a demise, too.
yes. Well, that's what I was going to talk about, was the burning up of disco records. It went up in flames. But, hey, it was only for a season, because then it came back in a whole new way, didn't it?
Yeah, it came back with different genres.
Exactly.
It happened to little children.
Right.
And now these DJs, you know, a DJ used to make $25 a night, all you can drink. Now they're making $100,000, $200,000, and they have these big raves that they have.
Oh, yeah.
And speed raves, and it's incredible how big it's gotten.
Well, Marty, we got to go to break. Stay with us. Marty Angelo is with us. We're talking entertainment, music.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did American men get so soft? Today's average red-blooded American man has less testosterone than his father, and his father has less testosterone than his father. Before we turn into a country of powder puffs, Force Factor is launching the Man Up America event. We want to send every man in America a complimentary bottle of the breakout supplement taking GNC by storm. Test X180 Ignite, loaded with free testosterone-boosting manliness. Get your complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369. During workouts, Test X180 Ignite raises levels of free testosterone in your body to help build lean muscle. Plus, it helps burn fat, fuel sexual desire, and improve performance. Now you can continue to feel like the real men that made this country great. Do yourself a favor. Do America a favor. Text ACTIVE55 to 369-369 for your complimentary bottle. That's a complimentary bottle by texting ACTIVE55 to 369-369.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Send your emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we love to hear from you, good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, let's hear from you. I am Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking entertainment, music, walk down the old proverbial memory lane, especially for this kid. Let me tell you, Marty Angelo is with us. Marty, how'd you get started back in the early 60s in the entertainment business?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I was a naive high schooler. Mm-hmm. Used to have parties in the backyard of my house.
Uh-huh.
Drinking beer was just getting popular, so we had to buy a keg of beer. And I had play records, and I thought, you know, gee, it would be great to have a live band.
Yeah. So you were an early raver, are you telling me? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I didn't even know half the people that showed up. But I walked around with a lot of dollars in my pocket, all you could drink for a buck.
Mm.
And so, and they heard music, and so I kind of grew into that, liked it. I liked the angle on it. And so when I went to college, University of Buffalo in Buffalo, New York, at that time was the Vietnam War was you know, just going strong. Everybody was getting drafted. In fact, right. If you weren't in school or married and kids, you'd get drafted.
Exactly.
You'd have to go and serve and go to Vietnam. And so when I arrived on that campus, the professors that I had were all these very, very radical liberals, even though I didn't know what those words were.
Mm-hmm.
I was naive, so I started believing these people, everything they taught. Vietnam was, we're going to blow ourselves off the face of the earth. The Russians are coming. We shouldn't be in Vietnam. Yeah. Here's a sign. Go out.
You got the Eve of Destruction, you know, playing loud.
And yeah, play, you know, yeah, yeah. And so right. So I fell right into that lifestyle, man. I thought, yeah. And so I joined the Students for a Democratic Society, and we demonstrated, and so they started to bring in these speakers like Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman and Bobby Seale. They wound up being the Chicago Seven that
right.
disrupted the Chicago Convention, Democratic Convention.
In 68.
Mayor Richard Daley, if you remember him, he combated and beat people on television. So. Maybe
yeah.
even worse. So.
Yeah, he went on to run United Airlines, by the way. So, just, you know.
Is that right?
Just sidebar. Sorry.
I jest. Anyway, so they needed bands. You know, they needed some entertainment besides these radical guys coming and telling everybody to demonstrate. So I started booking the band because I had some connections in the music business. And I started bringing in groups like the Grateful Dead. And so they would... The Grateful Dead would play, and then Jerry Rubin would come up and do his radical speech, and all the demonstrators would run on. And I kept in that lifestyle. I said, boy, this is a good way to make a living, I think, if I can break into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a band that I was managing and out of Buffalo, and a group called Raven. And they were a very, very good group. I mean, they were exceptional musicians, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's five guys, and so they couldn't get a break. So I took them to New York. And got a booking through Jimi Hendrix. I met him in a club in New York called Steve Paul's Scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a musician's club where everybody hung out after their gig. And they would come there after playing Fillmore East or Carnegie Hall, and everybody'd hang out, all these famous people. And so he was there. The club owner didn't want to give me a break. He said, get it lost. Come back when you get a hit record. But Hendrix, I walked up to him and I asked him if he'd like to hear his group. And so, boom, he put a stamp of approval on this group, loved them.
Wow.
Wanted to produce them, and then a club owner booked them then for a year. So that got me the start in that business. I got them signed to a Columbia Records. George Harrison, we negotiated with them with the Beatles, Apple Records at the time, but they were breaking up. The Beatles were, the rumor was
right.
they were breaking up, and we just thought it wouldn't be that great of a deal if we didn't have Harrison himself produce the band because they wanted Peter Asher to produce them.
Mm.
And at the time, Peter Asher, nobody knew who he was. He was Jane Asher's brother.
Right.
Who was dating Paul McCartney. So Lee said, no, it would be better off. But Peter went on to become a very, very successful record producer.
Exactly, right.
He's quite, he produced Livingston Taylor, James Taylor, Linda Ronstadt. And so the group split up then after we signed the contract. And you know how bands are. They were very, very moody, to put it pick a word, to call them moody. And I couldn't get along with each other, and they all thought they were greater than the Beatles. So they split up, and I went on then to produce or manage the rock group, the Grassroots.
Grassroots,
I don't
right.
know if you remember them or
oh,
not.
Oh, are you kidding me? Gosh, I've played their music. Oh, yeah. And of course, I love the idea that their music is played in major stadiums across the country right now. I mean, you hear it.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Well, they're still together. You know, Rob Grill had passed away not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to be close, and Rob was a great guy.
lead singer, and so we used to do shows with the Grassroots, Beach Boys, Three Dog Night. And that was really a dynamic show because you got to hear hit records all night.
Exactly.
And we traveled around. I was with them for a long time and had a really, really fun time and made some good friends. And I was messed up, though, man. My life was a wreck. I couldn't see straight half the time. I was easily too high or too drunk or too messed up, very unhappy, very upset with myself. Mm-hmm. And even though I was at the pinnacle of success, there was something wrong with me, and mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I just kept doing the party scene, thinking, well, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, sooner or later you'll figure it out, huh?
Well,
if you don't die first.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what happened. And when Jimi Hendrix died, he was, what, 27?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my. I remember Hendrix being with him. We were doing LSD, and you know, he was quite a big advocate of that stuff, and, mm-hmm. and he said, he made this profound statement saying that, he goes, I know where we're from. He says, we're all from the asteroid belt that runs around Saturn.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, is that right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty far out, but when he died and then Janis Joplin died.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix wasn't Purple Haze for no reason, you know, no specific reason.
Well, yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. He was mind-blowing. I mean, this guy was something else. And so, but he was the sweetest, nicest man you'd ever want to meet. He would he'd give you the shirt off his back and do anything. He gave me my first break. I mean, you know, when no one else wanted to help.
Well, here with the Ravens, so, yeah, exactly. Well, I got to tell you, you mentioned, hang on one second, you mentioned Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Summer 1967, he's the opening act for the Mamas and the Papas at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
Wow.
And I go there, and I mean, you know, nobody had ever seen... until then, somebody use a microphone stand and run it up the guitar strings like he did. It was incredible. What a show. But anyway, go ahead.
And, you know, he started off at the Peppermint Lounge in New York.
Right.
That's when I first saw him. And he was just a guitar player in the backup band, Joey D and the Starlighters.
Oh, wow.
And then he left New York because he wasn't doing much and went to England. And then he got he was talked into going to England, and then he became a huge success from England. They thought he was an English band.
Yeah.
And in a sense, he was. The two guys he had in that experience were English.
Mm.
And so that's when he came back. And then right after he came back is when he gave me my break. I think it was 67, around that time, too.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't real big when you saw him, right? He was just breaking.
No, he was. Well, I mean, hey, he's the opening act. Are you kidding me for the Mamas and the Papas? I mean, I had known of him because I was one of these nuts, you know. I mean, I collected records and I had the Jimi Hendrix Experience LP.
Yes.
Back in the days when they, I could say LP because that's what they had. And of course, everybody knows real quick.
Great.
He goes, oh, yeah, he's not talking CDs or digital music anymore. But yeah, I wore that thing out.
Well, you were a DJ in Los Angeles or New York?
Right, in Los Angeles, yeah. I was
Okay.
I was at KISS and KRLA back in the old days, KRLA. And
oh, my goodness.
Was with Art LeBeau, if you remember that name. And then also K-Day Radio. It was right at the time when FM was coming into play. And I was there during the era of Wolfman Jack when he was there before he went to New York. And so, it was wild. I mean, you know, Chicago was always... was hanging out. In fact, I was the first one ever across the country to play Feeling Stronger Every Day. Bob Wilson, the program director, came straight from Colorado, had the press. He goes, here, play this song. And I played it back to back, which used to always blow Wolfman Jackson. He goes, oh, my God, I can't believe you play it. You play it once, then you play it back to back. You know, I said, well, hey, it was the first time I was going to play it. Might as well make an effect out of it, you know. So
you had that freedom back then, too.
Yeah, a little bit anyway. Yeah, I mean, I still managed to get in trouble a little bit once in a while because I just did, but I never got into the drug scene. That was always there. And they said, well, they say you're Mexican, you know, you gotta be, you must be selling it then. Yeah, whatever.
Carrying it in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, come on, stop, you know.
Looking for you, I think.
Exactly. Marty Angelo is with us. The conversation continues as we go walk down memory lane, music and TV and entertainment right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park or the beach or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right. Get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live. What more could you want?
Hey, got to have some fun here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for, coming on the ride with us as we go back, talk a little bit entertainment biz, disc jockey world, my old background, music, TV, and, of course, Marty Angelo is with us. What a background, getting involved in television and producing concerts and being involved with the likes of Jimi Hendrix and George Harrison. You heard him talk about before with Barry White and the Love Unlimited Orchestra. What a ride for you. And then, we did talk about how disco, the rise and crash of it, but then the rebirth of disco as well, right?
Yeah. It was a bad time, though. You know, it was the rock group and the rock fans got very upset with disco. I mean, so did I. I mean, here was I, one of the promoters of making a good living. I mean, every time you turned around, Frank Sinatra had a disco song, Ethel Merman had a disco song. I mean, everybody and their brother, the Rolling Stones had disco songs. And I think people, it got such an overkill. And no one really knew the underlying story behind disco. They thought it was Saturday Night Fever, and thank God it's Friday. But the disco went back years before, and there was a lot of history to it that a lot of people didn't know. And so the rockers kind of got upset, and they wanted to hear their music on the radio. I mean, even AM radio was playing disco. Everything you touched
right.
was disco,
yeah.
And so it just killed itself, and the name got to be a bad word, and so but the beat was still there. People still liked to dance and party, so that just changed into different genres. And, you know, my TV show at the time was the highest rated TV show. It switched over. It started off on cable, mm-hmm. and then we went to a network station. But the network at one time didn't even want to know me. Mm-hmm. But we had such good ratings on cable that we even were beating the network on a Saturday afternoon. And that shocked me.
Exactly.
That was when they were still stringing cable, brother. You know, they weren't, mm-hmm. no one had Wi-Fi and this and that. And so you had to have a cable strung into your house. And so mm-hmm. they thought cable was going to go away. That's what the guy, station manager, told me. He says, cable, get the fast. HBO.
Who's going to pay for this when you get it for free? Right.
Yeah. In fact, the hotel where I did my show from, they had a 747 disco. It was the interior of a 747 plane. Huge. Uh-huh. So we set up cameras in there, and it was broadcast standard stuff. But he didn't even want to have it at first because he felt that he didn't want to string his hotel with cable because he felt that people would stay in their rooms and watch HBO and not come and drink at the clubs and different setups he had around in his hotel. But how wrong was he?
Exactly.
So the cable station, really one of the main reasons why they wanted to do my show was because the owner of the hotel had to commit to stringing cable. I mean, this is how far back this goes. And so it turned out to be a good ride, but that was the end. The disco was the end of me at that time too, because I was out of control, and I was doing too many drugs and partying too much, and I wound up getting arrested. And
you look at it as a miracle. You say
yes
when you were arrested, because it was because leading up to all this, you were saying you had, here you are, kind of like Peggy Lee, is that all there is? You got all this great stuff going for you, and you're going, wait a minute, I'm still coming up empty here. What the heck's going on?
Yes. Yeah. So it was a great day when the DEA arrested me. There were 30 other Coast Guards. I was living on Hibiscus Island. If you're from Florida, you know that.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Al Capone used to live down in that neighborhood.
Right.
So we had a big yacht in the backyard. I was visiting these guys that owned the house, and they were under investigation, and I was buying drugs from them to bring back to Hollywood for my band and the road trip that we were taking, and boom, I was arrested with them. Mm-hmm. And so they handcuffed me and threw me in county jail, and I was there scratching my head going, wait a minute, I'm in the music business. I'm not like these rest of these guys. Wait, I shouldn't be here.
Don't
you know who I am? And the cop goes, shut up. Lay down on your bunk. Tell it to the judge in the morning. But that was my bottom, man. That was, you know, as they call in addictions and in AA and things like that, I had hit rock bottom. And that got my attention. And psychiatrists call it introspection, and Christians call it taking a good old look at yourself, brother.
Exactly, yeah.
So my sister had become a Christian, and she was praying for me. And so finally I listened, and I said, this has got to be more than better. Something's got to be out there that's better than what I'm doing. I'm looking at spending the rest of my life in prison. They wanted to throw the book at me. They were going to make an example. They finally caught somebody in the music business.
Wow.
And,
of course, all this is on the heels of payola, drugola. I remember back in those days, Marty, I was signing monthly affidavits that I had not accepted any money or any drugs for playing music and all that sort of thing.
Wow.
So,
Well, yeah, because we used to use, I was an independent record promoter at the time too. And so, there's no more of those really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we would go into a small town, and bring, you know, a couple of grams of coke for the guy, the program director or station manager, whoever was authorized to put a record on.
Right.
And they'd love it. They didn't even want money.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the song would be on the very same day, pick hit of the week. Here it is.
That's it. Here it goes.
They were good records, though. They weren't. Right. They were hit records. We gave them hits. I mean, I didn't promote junk.
Yeah.
And so,
gave them junk, but didn't promote junk. You know, that's it.
There you go. Right. Yeah. And my junky lifestyle, but, you know, I have the consequences, brother. You know, everybody thinks, especially nowadays, too, the same thing is happening with the Hollywood celebrities that are doing the same type of partying that we all did back in the 60s with my group, my generation, the Woodstock generation, the disco generation. And there's a price to pay, man. You can't get away with it. Look at the celebrities that have died.
Yeah.
I mean, and even in our community, in Florida, there's 300. They're doing a big a big war on the opiates. Look at Donald Trump and his
exactly.
people there. Now they want
right.
to do this big war, and they want to combat these opiates because these kids are dropping dead. They're not just snorting coke and smoking pot.
Right.
And
well,
so my job has been helping these kids, you know, helping them get off of this stuff.
Well, Marty, it's the lost lives. I mean, for you, you got a second chance. I mean, you hit rock bottom. You got a sister who's praying for you. And you got a second chance. I mean, imagine if your life would have ended right there.
Oh, man, and many times I went into the hospital with overdose. Many times my heart rate was 300 beats a minute, racing out of control, irregular. I caused so much damage. Plus, I tried to commit suicide a couple times because I was just so depressed and upset with my life.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, my second chance came along, and it's been 35 years. Since that happened, man.
It's been that long, huh, Marty? Wow.
It's been long that I've been on the straight and narrow, in recovery and giving back, helping. I've worked in prison ministries. I've worked for Teen Challenge, which is a big outfit that David Wilkerson started, the movie Cross and the Switchboard.
Right, exactly, huh?
And Chuck Colson, I worked with Chuck when he was alive at Prison Fellowship. Chuck was the special advisor to President Richard Nixon.
Yes.
And Colson got arrested, went to prison because of the Watergate problems and crimes that were committed because of that. And so, you know, here I was with a bunch of people that all paid a price for the consequences of their life. I mean, I never thought in a million years I would be friends with someone that worked for President Nixon.
I mean, you look at the trajectory of your life and you intersect all these. I mean, you got musicians that are absolutely iconic and historic, your TV show. All these benchmarks throughout your life, and now on the other side of this pursuit of life, sex, drugs, rock and roll, you find yourself on God's team, and you're meeting men who have been redeemed like you, like Chuck Colson.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chuck told me one time, we were at a conference together when I first came on board, and he says, Marty, he says, tell me about your life in the music business. And I told him about the Grassroots, and he goes, oh, he says, you know something, he goes, let me tell you, that band almost wound up on the enemy's list. Remember Nixon had an enemy?
Yeah, absolutely, huh?
The Smothers brothers were on the top of the list, because they hated Nixon, and Nixon hated them, and he took them right off the air. That's how much power Nixon had, when they had the number one TV show, and he took them right off the air. And
so,
he said that what happened with us is that, I guess it was Christian Nixon or Julie Nixon, was having a birthday, and she was going to have a party, and her favorite band was the Grassroots.
Oh, wow. So, okay, look, Marty, we got to pause it right now because we got to go to break. We'll be right back with Marty Angelo. We're talking story, music story, right here on Bill Martinez Live, 18 before the top of the hour.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785.
800-430-8785, 800-430-8785, 800-430-8785.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. A conversation with Marty Angelo continues. He's the author of the book, Once Life Matters, A New Beginning. And right before the break, we were talking about, the pressure that the Nixon administration was putting on, entertainment and certain groups, particularly the grassroots. And, Marty, you were telling us a story there about the grassroots and Richard Nixon's daughter, how much she loved the grassroots, and they were on the targeted list, huh?
Yeah, they were. It's funny because I remember the call. We were in, I think, Chicago or something, and we're just kind of partied out like early in the morning. We had just gone to bed, and we get this call from our booking agent from Los Angeles and saying, we got a call from the President of the United States, Richard M. Nixon's office called and said they want your group to play at the White House for one of his daughters, I can't remember which one it was, a birthday party that the grassroots is her favorite band. And at the time, the grassroots had the number one hit record at the time, I think it was Midnight Confession, so they were really riding high. But they were a pop group, and so they didn't know. There was that underground rock groups that had a bad, they had a bad reputation. They were all drug groups. And we did our fair share of drugs, but nobody knew, and we weren't protesting anything.
Right.
They were just putting out pop records. Mm-hmm. That was the difference. It was still AM radio. It still had hit records that made a fortune while the FM was just starting out. And I wake up Rob. I said, Rob, I said, we got the agent in Nixon wants us to come to White House. nobody liked Nixon at the time. I mean, we never said so because we were never asked.
Right.
But if you were, it goes back to the 60s thing where if you weren't for them, you were against them, So we were those radical liberal hippies that were kind of making it through. And the conservatives were guys like Nixon.
Sure.
And, we hated each other. There was no way. And so he tells a guy with an expletive, what Nixon could do.
Right.
And he goes, no, don't do that, Rob. Take the gig. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do this. You know, he's too powerful. You can't turn him down, the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. So he did. We didn't do the gig.
We didn't
and
do it.
Didn't do the gig, insulted him. He took offense. And so I find this out now years later when I meet Chuck Colson, because Chuck Colson was in charge of Nixon's enemies list.
Him
and one other guy that was in the White House, forgot the guy's name. And he
Haldeman?
Said, you know,
was Haldeman involved?
I don't know if it was Alderman or one of them.
Yeah, Haldeman, yeah. Uh-huh.
But again, here I am sitting with this guy, with Chuck, who we said to each other, we'd never in a million years be sitting at the same table, Marty, ever. Mm-hmm. You know, you were a rock druggie. Here I was working for the President of the United States. So it was a miracle. We kept looking at each other going, what a miracle. God is real. He really does change lives. Look at us. We like each other.
Right.
said, well, yeah. But he said, you know, you came so close to getting on the enemies list because of this deal that you turned down Richard Nixon.
Right.
And I said, he says, you don't know how close you came in, but he got over it and they got somebody else to play the gig. But from that day on, Bill, even the president of ABC Dunhill Records, who we were with at this time, never accepted our phone calls.
Wow.
He never allowed us in the office. If we saw him, he'd turn the other way. He wouldn't accept our phone calls. Mm-hmm. We were dead. ABC Dunhill Records.
Well, today you'd have done that. They'd have built a statue with holy water coming out your left ear. You know.
Especially if you did it to our current president.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, no one likes the guy. It's too bad because he's a good guy, and I think he's doing a good job for our country, and I supported him.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I became a radical liberal, and because I became a Christian, all of a sudden, life mattered to me. That's why I wrote the book, Once Life Matters, A New Beginning, because I had a new chance, a new life, and life started to matter after I became a Christian. And all of a sudden, I had values, morals. Things mattered. I loved life. I was happy. I was peaceful. I wanted to help people. And I guess you'd call that a conservative, because the liberal people that I know, even to this day, they may say they all want that type of life, but then they'll beat you up and kill you. They
That's right, because
you don't believe them. You're not on their side. Mm-hmm. God forbid that you're talking morals and things and life. It's amazing what's happening to the college campuses nowadays. They're going through the same turmoil, if not worse. We never beat anybody. In fact, I think Nixon killed four of us.
Right,
Kent State University.
Right.
Because we were so far out of control, which he thought was out of control. Wow. If he was alive today, he'd probably shoot everybody if he could get a chance.
Right.
These kids are getting away with more stuff, and they don't realize, man, this is why I'm in the work that I'm in. Because eventually they're going to pay consequences in their own individual lifestyle.
Without a doubt.
It's not the group. Mm-hmm. It's not just the group. It's each person. God's got a plan and a purpose for each person. And if they don't get that now, their life is going to continue, and they're going to be searching, and they're going to try to find a way, and they're going to try and believe all these professors that are teaching them this nonsense that means absolutely nothing. It has nothing to do with your education. It has to do with what these professors think is what you should know and how you should live your life. Mm-hmm. It's the same way it was in the 60s. It's not, now it's even 10 times worse, 100 times worse nowadays, because I don't think you'd find one conservative professor on a college campus. If so, they'll run them out of town.
Yeah, they get marginalized real quick. There's no question that faculty room justice has been overwhelming. As much as Richard Nixon controlled politics, now liberals are controlling the hallways and the classrooms of academia. And as you say, these young kids are being, they're being treated like a bunch of mushrooms, and we know how those are treated. Because the thing is, like for you in your life, you found out and you were given a second chance. And here we are at a time when the country needs these young people, when their families, their future kids need them to have their act together. And what are they going to be prepared to do?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, they had, you know, we had something that we demonstrated against, and that was the war. None of us wanted to go out and fight that war. None of us wanted to be drafted. These kids are demonstrating against nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the right to do what they're doing with no doubt. I mean, you have that was the liberal thing. We started that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so, I can see why they're doing it, but there's no cause behind it.
Right.
You know, I mean, the guy, he's the president of the United States. He won it. legally. I mean, it wasn't like he cheated. They can't find any way that he fixed it. People just didn't want Hillary as the president. So,
that's right.
I mean, get over it.
Right.
And get on with your lives. And you have nothing to demonstrate against. Nothing.
Well, I say go and ask the questions. We need you to ask the questions. That's not a problem. But listen for the answers. And after it's all said and done, does it add to or take away from the trajectory of your life? Some of these kids are blind.
Our country.
Yeah, exactly.
Our country, not just your life yourself, but yeah. I mean, look at the direction that our country was in leading up to this. That was because we started this movement. So remember that. This is the 60s started this movement.
Right.
That radical liberalism and professors that were teaching that you should not be a straight person. You should not have moral value. Mm-hmm. They were teaching against it.
You got to love the one you're with, right? I mean, all this moral debasement, and we lived it like Solomon. You know, there was nothing new under
That's
the
right.
sun. We could do whatever
That's
we
right.
darn well pleased according to our own eyes. We lived that life, and I would say to these young millennials, listen to your parents. Listen to the experience of people who've been there, done it, and bought the T-shirt.
Yeah, well, we were taught not to listen to our parents. Because they were the enemy. We were taught that if you grow your hair long, smoke pot, listen. Timothy Leary had the mantra, turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Exactly.
And do your own thing. We never even heard the word sin. Mm-hmm. That was from my parents' generation. Remember the generation gap, they called it?
Oh, yeah,
there was
absolutely.
A gap between,
right.
Well, I didn't even know what the gap was, but my professor said, it's those people. It's those straight people. It's those conservative people. Look at it. It's those Richard Nixon people. You know, you meet a lot of these guys. I've met many a veteran that went to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're great guys, man. They went blindly, but they went off and they tried to do what was right.
Exactly.
We tried to do what was right by demonstrating because we didn't understand the war, but it cut through our whole country. And that spirit hasn't left.
Exactly.
It remains in this country. It's a spirit of rebellion.
Yeah. That's really, you're exactly right there. That's it in a word. It's a rebellion. Marty, as we wrap things up here, One Life Matters, A New Beginning. Congratulations on the book and your ministry.
Thank you.
For more than 30 years now, you've worked with various ministries. You're currently a full-time minister to prisoners, substance abusers, and troubled celebrities. What is the takeaway, you know, that you want people to get from your book?
Well, you know, it's just that you could relate to it in so many different ways, whether you're a rich man or you're a poor man, you're a drug addict or you're straight or you have a family member that might be in trouble and you're not sure how to get to them. And it's just, you know, it's a story of redemption. It's a story of a second chance. It's a story of a new beginning. And I see and meet thousands of people around the country that are searching for meaning in life and trying to get a handle on how to just make it till tomorrow. And so my story and my book has been donated to, it's over 60,000 of them in prison. And I get these fantastic letters from people that have gone through the same experience. They're sitting in a lockup somewhere going, how did I get here? What's wrong with me?
Right.
And so they have a worse story than mine as far as what their life was before. So I'm thankful that God has used me and in me and through me to help as many people as I can. If your listeners have someone that's in trouble or wants a book, wants me to send it to them, I gladly send it to them. They can go to my website, MartyAngelo.com, find my email address, Marty@MartyAngelo.com. Send me an email. I'll be glad to send them a book with a letter. If you got somebody in a rehab that wants, if you want to go that route, you know.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1 3/4 inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. Previously, I didn't bleed much at all. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Be prepared for